It was interesting just then when Mike said how to deal with parents, and I heard some moans out there. And it's always, I was when he asked me to do this speech, the first thing I thought of was, all right, he's just trying to fill time during the day. And I mean, so he's asking me to do this and can't find anybody else to fill in the spot. So I'll do it. But I mean, I'm not a parent. I can barely take care of myself, much less anybody else. So I'm not about to, not having kids now, and I mean, someday for sure, but certainly not now. Like Mike said, I graduated from here in 2001. I've been a coach here for 3 years. For 6 years before that, I was my specific position was as the director of residence life for the Congressional Page Program. Has anybody ever heard of this program? Okay, if you haven't heard of the program, if you remember a couple of years ago, before the elections in 2006, there was a little scandal on Capitol Hill where a congressman was sending naughty emails to a teenage page. Does this sound familiar? Okay, that was my program. If anybody ever needs any consultation on how to testify before the House Committee on Ethics, I've done that and can help. It's really easy after you've coached, actually, I found. But that program is a very unique thing. It's made up of high school juniors from all over the country. We have kids from pretty much all 50 states at one point or another in the territories like Puerto Rico and Guam and American Samoa. In order to get into the program, you have to be appointed by your congressman. So it's kind of akin to getting an appointment to the Naval Academy or something like that. You need a certain grade point average to be involved in extracurriculars. And you do need to be interested in politics and government and have kind of that, you know, maybe have that as an ideal career for you in the future. So we bring these high school juniors in, and they work on the House chamber floor. So if you turn on C-SPAN or look at CNN and you're watching the House floor debates, you might see these kids walking around with blue blazers on. Those are pages, and they deliver messages throughout the Capitol complex. There's a school, an actual high school, in the attic of the Library of Congress. So if you see the Jefferson Building, which is the old building behind the Capitol, up in the very top of that is a high school with lockers and with a science lab and a principal and everything. And it's the only high school in the country that has big bay windows that looks down on the Capitol and out over the mall. It's unbelievable. And then we had the residence hall, which was down about two blocks. And that's where I was in charge. And I taught in the school, too, and did some other things. But primarily I was in charge of running the residence hall, all the extracurriculars. I was the head counselor there, which was part of the gig. So, like I said, we're bringing these kids in from all over the country. Now, you all are coaches. You all are high school coaches. How many of the 16-year-olds in your program do you think are mature enough to go and live on their own in Washington, D.C. for an entire year? No. No. Maybe one in however many. I think there's something like 3 million high school juniors every year. We got 70 of them in there at varying degrees of what we would call qualified to live on their own. So imagine, if you will, you're a parent out in, let's say, just for instance, rural Kansas. All right, kids never been away from home. Maybe we've not traveled a whole lot. Now suddenly we're getting scooped up and we're going to D.C. We're going to a city with a giant target on it. And I was there on September 11th, and that was really a bad day for that program because we were having, talk about dealing with parents. We had parents calling left and right because we were there with those kids. You're sending your kid to D.C., and he's going to be on his own. And you walk into the door, and the first thing you see is me. We're already off to a bad start, and I'm sorry. But walk in the door, and you're like, all right, I'm sending this kid to this big city. He's 16 years old. He's never lived on his own before. I mean, I was 18 and went to college. I shouldn't have gone to college when I was 18. I couldn't do it then. There's no way I could have done it when I was 16. But that's essentially what it is giving these kids a chance to live on their own and be on their own, okay? So we walk in. Parents drop their kids off. And then they're there for a day. It's Labor Day weekend. They move in, and then they're gone because classes and work and everything else starts the day after Labor Day. So we have about 2 days before parents have to say goodbye and leave. So the first thing we did when we brought parents in was we stood up, kind of just like I'm standing up now, and we put the entire staff all around in a big assembly hall like this. We had the school staff, we had all the teachers, we had all the people that were going to be their work supervisors, the clerk of the house, who's the boss, kind of like the headmaster of this whole thing, who's an elected official by Congress, like elected by the congressman to kind of run Congress, like make sure the lights are turned on and things like that. He or she was the boss of this whole thing, and she was there, and I was there with the whole residence hall staff. And so we stood up and we said, okay, this is who you're leaving your kids with. Okay, we want you to see who it's going to be, because you're going to go away. A lot of these parents wouldn't see their kids again for 3-4 months. We wanted to see what was happening. I thought one of the good things that we did at BCC when I was there was we did that at the beginning of the season. And I think that's important, is you've got these kids. I mean, some of you are teachers in the schools that you coach, but I think it's important for the parents of the kids that you're taking every day and taking 3 miles out on the river or 5 miles out on the lake or whatever to see who they're dealing with. So for starters, I thought that was important, so that when I talk to them on the phone, I thought at least they know who they're talking to. The parents know who they're talking to, by face. I mentioned I started talking a little bit of the background of the program. The program dates back to 1789. We have records of the first pages working. Actually, even farther than that, we have records of pages working for the Continental Congress and things like that. So it's existed in some form since that point. But every time there's a scandal, things change, and Congress gets involved and screws it all up, and like everything else, and this new program kind of emerges. Well, right before I got there, something happened, and things changed. So we were kind of it was a totally new system the way it was set up with the residence hall the way we had it. So we were kind of reinventing the wheels as we went along. So we were learning a lot as we went. One of the first things that we decided we had to do was keep records of everything that was happening around us. And I know Dr. Matthews, my athletic director, talked about this morning about risk management and things like that. This was big time risk management for us. Every time that we had a shift in the dorm, at least, every time somebody was on a shift, I would get a report of that shift. So if you, like on the weekends, we would send them out on extracurricular activities. You know, we'd go to like King's Dominion or something, or a baseball game, and then I'd get an email that night about what happened at the game. The dorm's 24 hours, and we were there all day and all night. And so, you know, if a shift ended at midnight, I'd get an email from that person saying, you know, what happened during that shift, like so and so cut his finger cooking, or you know, I'd even get updates like, you know, Jeff and Billy or Jeff and Sue are dating, or things like that, like just like all the little social stuff that was happening in the dorm, just so we had an idea of what was happening in this program. We had an idea of what was happening with the kids, because we were acting in loco parente. I was really, hyperactive, and honestly, totally stressed out about it, because I figured I had to know everything that was happening within those walls all the time, so that when it hit the fan, I could turn around and say, okay, you know, this is what I knew. This is when I knew it. For instance. These are kids, and kids will try to do stuff, especially in a boarding school, which is essentially what it was. I once had to call my boss and say, hey, Jeff, I caught the congressman's son, and we got congressman's kids in this program. We got the congressman's son drunk in his room. That's a bad conversation, because now my boss has to go to the congressman, who's now a senator from a state represented by coaches here, and I won't tell you which one. And tell him that his son had to leave. Well, the congressman wasn't real happy with this. Well, how do you know that he was drunk? Well, my assistant caught him. Well, where did he catch him? When did it happen? All of these questions. We had everything laid out in bullet point. We were like, we caught him at 10:59 p.m. He had two Bud Light cans in his room. The so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I was like, how did he get into the dorm? Well, I don't know that. But, we had everything. We had everything written down. And a record of what we were doing. The clock's killing me, man. Just killing me. Actually, you know what this reminds me of? I'm going to digress here a little bit. I played basketball here as well as road. My first basketball game here, coming from high school into college, I couldn't handle the shot clock at all. Like, I know this is crazy, but I remember like coming down with the ball and looking up at me like, I've only got 20 seconds to run this play. This is crazy. I can't do this. This is what it's doing to me now. I'm having a flashback. Yeah, I know. Okay, so this is the keeping records part is akin to I think rowing. Now hopefully everybody here is writing down everything that they're doing at practice, writing down erg scores, writing down seat races, writing down lineups, you know, blah 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 blah, whatever. My first couple years at BCC, I didn't really do that. My first year coaching the varsity team, I wasn't the head coach, was I? I don't even remember this. But another guy I was working with was kind of more of the head coach, and I was kind of more of the assistant coach. Well. About a week or two before Stotesbury, I'm out rowing in D.C., and I'm out with a friend in the double. And we pull up to the dock, and I get out, and running down the steps are these two parents. Why isn't he in the boat? Why did you take him out of the boat? It's a week before Stotesbury, and you took him out of the boat. What? 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 Come on. This is Sunday morning, and you're down here yelling at me? I mean, and I was totally like just taken aback. I mean, he wasn't in the boat because he wasn't as fast as the kid that we put in the boat for him. I mean, that was it, and I knew that, but I couldn't get this across to the parents, and I had no records whatsoever of what I was doing. Now, this did two things to me. One, it made me avoid parents a lot for, like, 2 years. Like, I would, like, races would end, and I would be in the back of Thompson's, like, hiding in the bathroom. Am I done? Is that? Who did that?
Put a couple more minutes back on the clock.
Yeah, really. No, that's okay. You don't want to see my face anyway. It's fine. The other, and I totally lost my train of thought. What did I just say? Avoiding parents, right. I did avoid parents for a while. And I'll get back to that, because that's kind of the third point that I'm going to make. But the other side of it was, okay, now I keep records of everything. Like when Carla was here, Carla's the head coach, yeah, at Holy Cross, sort of. And Ashley was one of my my coxswains, too, my first year here. Coxswains here write down everything. I mean, they're, like I need coxswains. If you want to be a coxswain in Washington College, you need good penmanship. Because I'm going to just hand you my notebook, and they're going to write every single thing down that I tell them to. And now I have notebooks dating back five years now, I think, with just every practice that we've ever done, stuff that I've not just the numbers and the seat racing and things like that, but other notes, like what happened. Like, I mean, anything. Like, two kids got in a fight at practice, or so-and-so was, you know, giving me lip about something. Whatever happened, it's there, so that when a parent comes to me and says, okay, so what's happening here with my kid, I can say, okay, well, on January 30th, you know, he pulled 142 on his third 1500, and right after that, he pulled a whatever, and then 3 weeks later, we seat raced, and he beat so-and-so, but then so-and-so beat him, so here's where we are. I'm talking completely off the cuff here, but you can kind of hopefully get the kind of the picture. I hope everybody's writing things down. I mean, that's not just from like a parent standpoint, but it's from a training plan standpoint. It's really great to have records of however long you've been doing anything, so that you can go back and compare. And that's really fun for me now in the third year here to go back over the last 2 years and really see where we've come, which is a lot of fun to see. Okay, so I. Talk about the book. Talk about writing things down. Oh yeah, and running away from parents. Okay, so we're back to the page program now. We found after a couple of months, our first couple of years in this new system, that we would get parents calling. The parents would drop them off in September, and then by October, middle of October, without fail, we would get like 10 phone calls a week from parents. And it's 70 kids, so 10 parents, that's pretty good percentage of the program. Okay, so parents are calling us and like, what's going on with our kid? We haven't heard anything. It's like, oh, okay. You know, we kind of talk things out. After a while, it kind of dawned on us that, okay, why don't we step out and be a little bit more proactive about this? We started a newsletter. We started calling parents. We started engaging the parents a lot more. And we found that was really successful, that the parents that we were really engaged with, the parents that really cared about what their kids were doing, those kids were doing really well. Their grades in the school went up. Their work supervisors started saying better things about the work that they were doing up in the Capitol and the complex and everything else. And we started having less problems with them in the dorm. I took that and same thing with rowing. Started engaging the parents more. Started to get to know the parents. You can't do this by yourself. You can't build a rowing team or build a rower from freshman in high school to senior in high school by yourself. You need other people there. If the parents are involved, if you're involved with the parents, if you're engaging the parents in the whole process, then that's going to add to the support that the kid has. The bigger the foundation of support that the child has, the better chance of success that they're going to get. Mike talked about a pyramid of making the pyramid of speed. We'll talk about maybe like the pyramid of adolescence. The wider the foundation is that is support, the higher that pyramid is going to go. This is just my own thoughts, my own philosophy, my own theories. And the last thing I'll say about that is, like I said, you can't do it by yourself. It takes the old saying, if it takes a village to raise a kid, and don't do it by yourself. Like, don't be like me. Don't be afraid of parents. Don't be afraid of going out and engaging them. I mean, if you haven't had the "why isn't my kid in the boat" conversation, you're probably going to have that conversation eventually. And that's okay. They want to know because they care just as much as I think you do. And if they know that you care, you folks that are parents, I mean, you want the people that are teaching your kids to care, right? I mean, you care about what happens to them. Like, everybody get involved and be working together. Don't hide in the back of the boathouse. So that's all I got.